And at 20 minutes to 9 o'clock, Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc., is in on a regular Wednesday morning conversation. It's nice to see you again, Gavin.
Hey, good morning, gents. How are we doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Yeah.
And here we nice are cool at the interesting, yeah, interesting moment in time when the debate is raging over the proposed VAT increase that the Democratic Alliance has drawn a line in the sand in the GNU and said, under no circumstances will we support even a 0.5% that you're proposing in this year and another 0.5% next year, and where does it end, and etc. So it would appear that this is causing all sorts of interest, and I say this advisedly because the Action SA, who we had such high hopes for.
The champions of capitalism, supposedly.
Yes, Herman Mashaba was in here a couple of times, and he's a nice guy. We got so well. Yeah,
Herman's charming.
And we thought, good, well, here is one party that really is going to put political grandstanding aside and start getting stuff done for South Africa and South Africans, and, you know, getting the economy back, ding, ding, ding. Well, what a disappointment in terms of what I can see here, because it would appear that the ANC has secured a majority in the Standing Committee on Finance to adopt the budget framework report for this VAT increase with recommendations, but no guarantees. And here, this is the thing. Ahead of the committee meeting, the Democratic Alliance and the ANC were in deep negotiations, trying to find common ground and compromise to pass the budget. The compromise would have been, okay, don't do the VAT deal. Let's find other ways of balancing the books. And that seems to be the case.
And they were very sensical things, you know. Start looking at maybe devolving the SOEs, you know. That just seems to be a bottomless money pit. Because as fast as our taxes get poured into them, the people working there steal the money. So, I mean, SOEs aren't working for us. They cost us a lot of money, and they're inefficient. And maybe one of the first things we should do is say, well, how do we offload these entities so that they can be run privately, run properly, and run efficiently, and not be run entirely on our taxes?
That is a fantastically interesting proposal, and I would imagine that most shall we say capitalist or economically sensitive to growth and opportunity thinking would have gone along with that.
But exactly. Well, you know, we're looking at, it's very simple. The equation is, we've got this income, we've got that expenditure. And the government's going, well, we can't meet our expenditure with the taxes we raise. Well, you know, you can do one of two things. You can either raise the taxes further if you think that's a good idea for the economy, or you can have a look at your budget and go, well, you know, they're like that profligate uncle who just, you know, he's just constantly borrowing from relatives because he can't live within his meager means, you know, and this is our government. I mean, think, just reduce the amount of money you spend. You spend on a lot of nonsense. You waste a lot of nonsense. We all read the Zuma report. We know, I mean, the Zondo report. We all know how much you've stolen. You know, stop stealing. You don't have to raise taxes.
I love the plain speaking on a Wednesday. Stop stealing. This is an attorney, by the way.
Yeah.
Understanding the implications of that. So, but now, I got a bit of a surprise when I saw coming across the wires an announcement from Action SA, a big press release that headlines, "Victory for South Africans as Action SA blocks the proposed VAT increase and income tax bracket creep." And I thought, well, clearly they've actually been at it behind closed doors and ahead of the presentation to Parliament today, they must have struck a deal where they're going to knock that out. Not at all. It's exactly as has been headlined, and they are both opposing the VAT increase yet supporting the budget in its current form. How do you take that position? It's like going left and right.
Yeah. I was listening to Rob Hirschhoff on BizNews, and he said, you know, it's a funny thing that's happened with Action SA. And that is that, you know, in the last elections, they just didn't perform at all. And there's desperation in the party to be relevant. because they were irrelevant in the elections. And they've had backers and people who put money into it, and they're going, well, you know, where's this showing that we're supposed to have had at the elections? And so they're casting around for relevance as an insignificant party currently as matters stand. And this casting about has completely ruined their messaging. They've gone totally off message. The things that we were told initially, you know, when we listened to Action SA and they came to Bolito and so forth and so forth, all of that messaging's gone. It's, you know, when there's you know, a bandwagon of sort of, you know, anti-white stuff going on, they're on that. And when there's, you know, this, and then they're on that. And, you know, they're just, they've lost their direction. And I think it's just desperation. I really think so. And I've watched some of the tweets and that, and I've gone, wow, this is not the party that we had sympathies with.
We had hopes for
a few years ago. You know,
there's been a number of gurus that understand the political landscape saying that what is now very apparent is that our political landscape at the moment is missing a central player, and if there came into the fray a centrist, pro-economy or economic growth, when I say centrist, Dave, a kind of moderate party that everyone from across the spectrum can rally towards. That will sweep the boards, boy. That's what's missing.
Dave,
I think might be that.
I thought so too. I certainly got an impression from Herman initially that he was a capitalist and he believed in free markets and, you know, he believed in getting the economy going and so forth. And, you know, the fact that they'd even throw their hat in the ring with the VAT increases, to me, just like, you know, they've completely then abandoned what they originally were. I think the DA, by holding fast on this, have indicated to us that they are serious about the economy and they might be that centrist party. And they've had some very good ideas as to how state spending can be curbed and perhaps how we can start to rein in just the wholesale theft of our taxes. So that's where the problem lies, and that's where we should be focused, and we should go through the report that Zondo gave, because it gave us all the people, it gave us all the problems, and we can just start working on that. But nothing's really happened, you know. And that's now quite some time ago, and we really need to start looking at how do we get the economy going, because, you know, Arthur Laffer was an economist in the States, and he says it wasn't his own idea, but it was picked up even in Roman times. There's a point beyond which increasing taxes actually reduces the revenue that you get from taxes.
Wow.
It's called the Laffer curve. What happens if you take zero taxes and 100% taxes? Obviously, if you tax 100% of people, what people make, you destroy your economy and eventually you collect nothing. So as you dial back your taxes, there's a point beyond which the amount that you recover by increasing taxes actually decreases. So you're worse off.
Sure.
Okay? You're worse off for two reasons. One is that if taxes are extremely high, then the incentive not to pay them is high.
Ah.
Because, you know, because if taxes are low and you go, well, that's the tax, I'll pay it. But if you go, well, this is just theft, your moral compass tells you, well, maybe I don't have to pay these taxes. And maybe I should try and dodge taxes. And maybe so.
It's especially if the example being set from on high as to how the taxes
are how they're
deployed.
Spent. Yeah.
I mean,
so
clearly.
There's that. And the other is obviously tax has a throttling effect on your economy because you're taking money from the productive elements of society. And you're giving it to the parasite class, which is the political class, which produce nothing. And so you're reducing your productive portion of your economy by throttling it with high taxes. And so there's going to be less and less businesses started because they don't make sense. You do the sums and you go, well, once I've paid my tax, I'm not really making any money, so I'm not going to bother starting this business. So a lot of businesses don't get started that would have got started. And then some businesses that were already marginal start failing. So your economy shrinks. So you've got less people paying tax. So even though you've put your taxes up, you're netting less.
Wow.
It was very interesting for me to see in the news, in fact, an item that talks to the fact that we have collected, or the SARS did anyway, a huge amount of tax in this last financial year. So much so, in fact, South Africans have paid 1.85 trillion rand in taxes last year, outperforming SARS's previous estimates by a considerable number. And the better than expected collection comes despite, they say, a challenging operating environment. What are we talking about? Well, chronically weak economy. A lower than expected wage increase. Okay. A decline in imports year on year, getting kind of serious. And the impact of logistical constraints, a.k.a. Transnet's failure and various others.
And also, obviously, the total bizarre sort of debacle that we have with our foreign affairs. You know, the fact that we're busy alienating our second biggest trading partner, and that's also going to have a massive effect on our economy. So,
and yet, despite all of this, they collected more revenue last year than by far than anticipated. It goes to show that the fundamentals in South Africa, in terms of being able to produce the goods, are still pretty sound.
And not really, because the numbers are skewed. I mean, that's like 1.5% of people that live here are contributing 65% of those taxes.
Yes,
The fundamentals are not right, and the fundamentals won't be right until we have the dependent class of people working.
When I say the fundamentals are right,
working if the economy gets fixed.
But what I'm referring to is the fact that we are not a basket case yet.
Yet.
And there are entrepreneurs and businesses and markets that can, if given a chance to thrive, bounce back.
Of course.
Hugely.
Of course.
Because these circumstances,
imagine what they could do in an economy where the government is pro-business and pro-economy.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's all we need is just a small little mindset change or a massive sea change, actually. And I think the DA is pushing for that. I don't know why the ANC is so entrenched in this 5% VAT or 0.5% VAT increase, because of the 50 parties, I believe only two of them are in favor. And the ANC is acting as if it's still the majority in this country, and it's not. It's one of a coalition. It might be the biggest in the coalition, but it still has partners, and it needs to take their counsel, and it needs to take that on board, because it's running South Africa as its personal fiefdom still, when that is not the case.
Well, you know, we have these opportunities to get around a table once a week with Gavin Steinhobel, our attorney at law, to unpack trending issues, and this one certainly is very much on the cards or on the boil right now. I have a suspicion that this VAT increase, despite all the rumblings and rumors to the, where we are still going to present it to I think it's a done deal. I think we're going to be increasing our income tax spend.
There's another problem that we have with the budget, and that is all the governments play this trick. And that is that you have what's called fiscal drag. So you've got all those, you've got all your brackets for income tax. So if you earn over so much, your income tax percentage on the margin goes up slightly. And if you earn so much, they don't move those brackets at all. They leave them like that for a decade. But everybody's salaries go up because of inflation. And next thing, you're creeping into another bracket. So you're getting taxed at a higher rate without actually having, in real terms, if you allow for inflation, without having become any wealthier.
In fact, you're probably becoming less wealthy.
You're becoming less wealthy because it's unlikely that you're really keeping track with real inflation. And then your taxes are going up every year because the government won't move those brackets up. And that's another sort of one of these invisible taxes that they play on us.
You know, it would appear that we are really and truly the idiot class of being on the planet, you know, human beings with all our magnificence and our intelligence and our potential to do enormously good things. We are sitting here, the situation that is patently ludicrous.
Well, I think
ludicrous, you
know, but the nice thing is these conversations are being held in America. They've come to the realization that their government is too big, that it's too wasteful, and they need to trim it back. And, you know, the Doge of Elon Musk is doing that, and we need that here. So we're going to find that, you know, these things always start somewhere, and then they wash through the planet, and they normally do it through the World Bank or the IMF, anyone who wants a loan, they'll say, listen, okay, well, let's have a look at your ability to repay these loans. Oh, dear, you don't have a very good economy. Oh, dear, you've got very bad economic policies. Oh, dear, let's have a look at the size of your government. And these things come through, you know, initially from for example, the states. You know, they're leading the charge now. They're saying, well, you know, we just cannot carry on like this. The government cannot be this massive burden on productive people, because it's not good for the country, it's not good for the people that live there, it's only good for the politicians. And so, you know, we know that, everybody can see that, and, you know, as this groundswell goes, we'll all go, well, eventually things have got to change, we can't carry on like this. Nobody's enjoying it, nobody's thriving. You know, if you have a look what the average person can do, the average working person can do with what they earn, it's nothing like they could have done 40 years ago, where they could have bought a house, a car, and their wife would sit at home and the kids would still be in school. And, you know, these are all standards of living issues, and people are not the, one of the hardest things to do is take a cut in standard of living. And, you know, the middle class has done that. And so I think ultimately people are going to start thinking along those lines. This idea that that you can live at the expense of others is a nonsense idea. It's a socialist idea, and all politicians think that's the case. But you can't. You know, at some stage, you have to look after the goose that lays the golden eggs, the thing that pays for everything, and that is your economy.
A good point at which to end our conversation this morning. Gavin Steinhobel, attorney at law from Kloppers Inc. If you need a good attorney, you know where to go. You'll find them in the Bolito Village. And on a Wednesday morning, Gavin is in the studio with us at the Lifestyle Center. It's very good to have touched base again.
Yeah.
And we look forward to the next one in a week's time.
King Dave, always a pleasure.
And our morning show continues.